So we've got some great stories of your elderly appliances, things that have stood the test of time. Lovely to hear from you, Stephen Crowborough, who says, I've got a Samsung microwave from 1990, so that makes that 31 years old. It's got two knobs, one for the temperature and the other for the time. It feels like a vault when you open and close the door. I can visualise this appliance. The trick is to just keep it clean. It's still going strong, but I know that one day it will have to be replaced. Loving the show, says Steve. Glad to hear it. So I want to hear about those appliances that have stood the test of time. And this is because I was rummaging through the papers last week and saw this. Oh, this is quite incredible. So this was a fridge freezer that the couple bought. They bought it post-World War II, but actually it was built before then. So still going strong after 80-odd years. So a couple from Gloucestershire are still using the same fridge that was built in the 1930s. It's thought to be the oldest in the country. And it's an Electrolux model. There's a picture of it, and it's still going strong. So they bought it just after World War II. £49 they paid for it, which I would imagine was quite a lot of money. Then the fridge was bought, it was already about 19 years old when they bought it. It'd been built in the 30s. They bought it in 1949, but they paid a lot for it. So £49, but thought to be the equivalent of around £1,800 in today's money. So obviously fridges were something that was considered a bit of a luxury item then. They've relied on the appliance during the heat wave and it's still going strong today. So I want to hear about your appliances that are still working and are not exhibiting any signs of giving up just yet. Let's talk to gadget detective Fevzi now. Fevzi, lovely to have you on the programme with us today. We moan, don't we? We say, oh, things aren't built to last anymore. But is that true?
It is largely true. I mean, you can still pay a lot of money and have something, you know, as well built as it was 10 years ago, but you have to pay a lot more for that. A lot of items have become consumables. They're not designed to last more than 5 or 10 years, and particularly with things like electronics and so forth. And there are some good reasons for that and some bad reasons. The thing is, let's imagine you had a mobile phone. There's no point having a mobile phone that's going to last you 20 years because the technology within the mobile phone will not be relevant anymore. You won't even be able to use it. The networks wouldn't necessarily support it, and you couldn't do with it the things that you'd want to do. So they design them to last for, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, something like that. And you see that they seal the batteries in. You know, it's not a, you can't replace the battery easily. You have to go for a service and so forth. So there are some good reasons, but there's also this big deal going on at the moment about the right to repair, with manufacturers stopping people from having their goods repaired. And that's not a good thing. You know, if it makes sense to repair something, then we should be allowed to do so.
Things have changed, because when I was growing up, if the kettle broke down, you'd get the element replaced and things like that. You'd never dream of doing that now. It would just be straight on to your new kettle. I wonder whether it's because things have got cheaper. So we talked about that fridge, and that was £1,800 when it was first bought, and that was secondhand then. So you're talking about a big investment. There's more motivation to ensure that that lasts.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are repairable. I mean, there's a company called Duelit, and I'll just mention them because they specialise in repairable kettles and toasters and so forth. But when you buy a Duelit kettle, you spend, you know, well over £100, sometimes, you know, towards £200. But then you can repair it. And if the toaster goes, you can replace the element. But you paid a lot more for it in the first place. And that's the kind of trade-off that you get. If you want something repairable and long-lasting, you can get it, but then you have to pay a lot more for it. So have you actually saved any money by, you know, putting up £200 for a toaster ahead of time? Might it be better to spend £19 on the toaster and just replace it a few times? Unlikely you'll have to replace it 10 times during the life of the other one. So, you know, you pays your money, but things are moving towards, you know, being consumable items. You know, we use them up and they die.
That's always sad when you go along to the tip and you see just piles and piles of appliances in there that don't look as if they're that old or they've had that much use.
No, it's absolutely right. And, you know, there's certain technologies. I mean, TV sets that are not flat screen, you know, the old-fashioned type, can still be perfectly good, not necessarily high definition and whiz bang, often with better sound, by the way, because they've got space for decent speakers in them. But you can't give those away. You literally cannot give them away. You have to pay people to take them away or drive them down to the tip. And it, you know, it's a shame. But that's the reason. I remember we had an old black and white TV set in our family, and it was in beautiful crafted wood, and it had doors that opened and no remote control. The channel changer was this sort of what they used to call a chugger, you know, just a big wheel, and you turn it, go chug, 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 and that was the way you selected channels on it. And you know, I think in the end, when it died as a TV, we put shelves in it.
I'll tell you what, Fevzy, though, I do feel there are certain appliances that do have airs and graces, one of them being the printer. I mean, printers generally as a group are unreasonable, aren't they?
In what sense?
In that they say to you that they are not linking up with whatever you want them to print from, or that there's a paper jam, or there's, you know, they behave, I feel, generally in a less reliable fashion than your other appliances.
Well, because they've got a lot of moving parts to them, and they're having to sort of do quite intricate movements with pieces of paper, and particularly the ones that do double-sided printing and all the rest of it. I've always thought, so printers are interesting because it's one of those things where you don't look at the cost of the printer when you buy it. You look at what's called the total cost of ownership, the cost of buying the printer and the cost of running it. And, you know, ink for some inkjet printers, it was recently found in a Which report that the ink in an inkjet printer can cost per cubic centilitre more than Dom Pérignon champagne. and it's quite a scam, actually, because what they do is they sell you a printer, sometimes even give away the printer or sell it well below cost, because they then hope that you are tied into their ink supply, and you know, so you can buy a printer for £50 but spend £1,000 on ink during the life of the printer. So when you buy a printer, it's actually, if you're going to do a reasonable amount of printing, and a lot of people actually can get away without having a printer at all these days, but if you have need of a printer, consider buying one that's cheaper to run, even if it costs you a couple of hundred quid or £300 from the get-go, because if it's cheaper to run and you print a reasonable amount, you actually save a lot of money and have a substantially built printer, which is less likely to be finicky in the way that you've described.
Yes, I can't be doing with that kind of behaviour. I tell you what as well, you know, that's probably a lesson when it comes to any purchase, that sometimes you have to look at overall, not just the initial cost, but the long-term benefit of maybe paying a bit more.
Yeah, so it's quite interesting. You know, the total cost of ownership is the time you spend researching a new item, buying it, paying for it, storing it, maintaining it, dusting it, and eventually disposing of it during its life. You know, that's what it actually costs you. It takes up space in your home. Is it worth that space? Your home is worth a certain amount. You know, we just need to... The thing is, some consumer goods are so cheap that it almost seems rude not to buy them. And when you do that and they just sort of clutter up the place, I believe it's much better to have fewer gadgets and just have the ones that you really love. Spend, if you love your photography, spend a lot on a camera if you can. Yeah. But don't then have a myriad of other gadgets. Just have a gadget, learn how to use it, enjoy it. Don't feel you have to change it every year. My iPhone is now 5.5 years old. And I bought the best iPhone I could at the time. It's still going. It'll probably need to be replaced this year. I would have replaced it last year if it hadn't been for COVID, because it gets soaked in disinfectant every day. So, you know, for that reason, I didn't replace it. But I'm a great believer in, you know, say, for example, with a camera, the best pictures come not from the latest camera, but from the camera that you know best. The one that you have with you at the time, and the one that you know how to use and get the best out of it. If you are constantly changing cameras because there's a new feature and more megapixels and a better zoom and all of this, you're always going to be playing catch up.
It's interesting because I'm with you on the phone. I don't change my phone very often, but I know we've, you know, collectively as a nation, we've been convinced that we need to upgrade all the time when it comes to phones. And I remember when I had a Saturday job working in this electrical shop, and it was at about the time where we'd all been convinced collectively that the must-have item to have was either a plug-in foot warmer or one of the, you know, there's electric foot spas, and you kind of think, and they kind of came in a great flourish, and everyone was buying them. And sometimes people would plug in their foot warmer and they'd forget they had their feet in a foot warmer and they'd trip up. You know, they were quite a hazardous thing. And it's funny, isn't it, how we can all be convinced collectively that we need the same thing at the same time.
Yeah, these sort of single function gadgets are quite interesting. I mean, I think the original of that type was the Teasmade, you know? Teasmade, loads of people bought them. And some of them worked reasonably well, but most of them got put back in the box and collected dust. You know, it's interesting, you know, handheld massagers, all sorts of sort of single-use gadgets. Sometimes it's fine to have a single-use gadget, but if it's not something that you need, you know, like a toaster or a kettle day in, day out, then it's just taking up space again.
Yeah,
you know,
realistically, just think carefully. you can be convinced that a foot spa would be a good thing to have, but then you find that the time is limited for the foot spa-related opportunity. This is the issue, isn't it, really?
it is, and that's a lifestyle issue. And the other thing that you could consider is every time you buy a gadget, and, you know, don't do as I do as I say, but every time you buy a gadget, get rid of something else in the house so that it doesn't just...
Yes, I've tried. I'm trying this philosophy on my teenage daughter's wardrobe at the moment, but she doesn't seem to be terribly impressed with that
no.
idea. Well, it's always a joy to have you on the programme. Thank you so much for joining us, Fevzi. Talking about gadgets, so do you buy to last? And what's the oldest thing that you have got? Some lovely stories coming in at the moment. So a lot of long-lasting appliances. Doug says, when I bought my flat 25 years ago, it came with a free-fitted oven. I'm now thinking of moving on so I can get something ground floor to be more guide dog friendly. So it was here first and it will be here last. I also bought an iron and it's still working, although my skills are limited, and having knocked it off the ironing board more than once, I think it's ready for a well-deserved rest. And Doug then says, I agree that printers are proof that Satan exists. Yeah, I cannot be doing with printers.